Today's Bible reading is Mark chapter 7, starting at verse 31, which you can find on page 1041 in your church Bibles. Mark chapter 7, starting at verse 31. Then he returned from the region of Tyre and went through Sidon to the Sea of Galilee, in the region of Decapolis. And they brought to him a man who was deaf and had a speech impediment, and they begged him to lay his hand on him. And taking him aside from the crowd privately, he put his fingers into his ears, and after spitting, touched his tongue. And looking up to heaven, he sighed and said to him, Ephphatha, that is, be opened. And his ears were opened, his tongue was released, and he spoke plainly. And Jesus charged them to tell no one. But the more he charged them, the more zealously they proclaimed it. And they were astonished beyond measure, saying, He has done all things well. He even makes the deaf hear and the mute speak. In those days, when again a great crowd had gathered, and they had nothing to eat, he called his disciples to him and said to them, I have compassion on the crowd, because they have been with me now 3 days and have nothing to eat. And if I send them away hungry to their homes, they will faint on the way, and some of them have come from far away. And his disciples answered him, How can one feed these people with bread here in this desolate place? And he asked them, How many loaves do you have? They said, 7. And he directed the crowd to sit down on the ground. And he took the 7 loaves, and having given thanks, he broke them and gave them to his disciples to set before the people. And they set them before the crowd. And they had a few small fish, and having blessed them, he said that these also should be set before them. And they ate and were satisfied. And they took up the broken pieces left over, 7 baskets full, and there were about 4,000 people. And he sent them away. And immediately he got into the boat with his disciples and went to the district of Dalmanutha. The Pharisees came and began to argue with him, seeking from him a sign from heaven to test him. And he sighed deeply in his spirit and said, Why does this generation seek a sign? Truly, I say to you, no sign will be given to this generation. And he left them, got into the boat again, and went to the other side. Now they had forgotten to bring bread, and they had only 1 loaf with them in the boat. And he cautioned them, saying, Watch out, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the leaven of Herod. And they began discussing with one another the fact that they had no bread. And Jesus, aware of this, said to them, Why are you discussing the fact that you have no bread? Do you not yet perceive or understand? Are your hearts hardened? Having eyes, do you not see? And having ears, do you not hear? And do you not remember? When I broke the 5 loaves for the 5,000, how many baskets full of broken pieces did you take up? They said to him, 12. And the 7 for the 4,000, how many baskets full of broken pieces did you take up? And they said to him, 7. And he said to them, Do you not yet understand? This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Morning, everyone. Thank you, Phil, for reading. Do keep Mark chapter 8 open. It's a great encouragement to me and to you to do that. And as we listen to the Lord Jesus now and his word, let's pray together. Awesome Heavenly Father, you have met our deepest need in the Lord Jesus. So help us to see more clearly. Help us to hear your voice so that we would grow in love and knowledge of him. Amen. Well, is Jesus really the one who can rescue the whole wide world? When you look at the news, it isn't often good news, is it? Here is a newspaper from this week, The Times. I'm clearly a Times reader. And here are some headlines. Skin disease affects community. Farmers concerned as grumbler pigs die. Mother-in-law becomes unwell. Son-in-law worries an appropriate amount. Thousands of people left hungry. Great evil strikes town. Miracle eyes treatment found. They are headlines that we could easily get from the newspapers and the news today, isn't it? And yet these are headlines that come straight out of Mark's gospel. See, whether you're reading old eyewitness accounts of this world, like Mark, or you're reading the news, there is so much pain and suffering in this world. Surely what's needed is a restoration job. If we've been at St. John's over the last few weeks, we've been given plenty of evidence, lots of signs, and heard the good news that Jesus really is God's promised Messiah. He is the Savior of the Jews. Last week, we listened to Jesus as he taught and he showed his followers the deep problem that comes from within each of us. Jesus called it being unclean. It's what the Bible calls sin. And being an unclean sinner is not just about what we do, and it's not about the dirty outside world out there. Jesus says it's about who we are. And so last week we used my nice Christmas mug to illustrate this. It's lovely and clean and respectable on the outside, just like us. But just like a doctor and having a heart scan or really looking at inside of my mug, it is slightly cleaner than last week. But it's still defiled with coffee and slightly moldy milk from the coffee I had a month ago. See, as God looks at the heart, he sees that without Jesus, we are defiled, unclean, full of sin. And although that is shocking to hear, Jesus has every right to say it because of who he is. Just as the police chief superintendent has the right to command the little police sergeants to do their work, Jesus' true identity is the Lord God himself. And he tells us what's wrong, and he'll tell us how he will fix it. And that is actually the reason Mark wrote his gospel. He wants us, each of us, to face up to the truths of who Jesus is. And so this morning we're given two more clear signs of Jesus' messianic power and authority, because Mark wants us to catch sight of Jesus' true identity, his mission as rescuer and ruler of this world, not just of the Jews, but of every single person. And so let's take a look together and we'll see a man that does all things well. Jesus is the ruler who has power that releases captives. That's our first point. If you've got your Bibles open, Mark chapter 7, verse 31. Then he, Jesus, returned from the region of Tyre and went through Sidon to the Sea of Galilee in the region of Decapolis. And they brought to him a man who was deaf and had a speech impediment, and they begged him to lay his hand on him. And taking him aside from the crowd privately, he put his fingers into his ears, and after spitting, touched his tongue. And looking up to heaven, he sighed and said to him, Ephphatha, that is, be opened. And his ears were opened. His tongue was released, and he spoke plainly. And Jesus charged them to tell no one. But the more he charged them, the more zealously they proclaimed it. And they were astonished beyond measure, saying, he has done all things well. He even makes the deaf hear and the mute speak. So at this point, Jesus heads to a non-Jewish region that had already heard about Jesus. In Mark chapter 5, there was a man called Legion who Jesus had restored back to life. He went and told the people how much the Lord had done for him, how he'd had mercy on him. This time, it's a deaf and an almost mute man that is brought to Jesus. But did we spot some possibly confusing comments? Why does Jesus say, be opened in Aramaic? And Jesus' word is powerful enough. Just last week, he said to the woman, go your way. The demon has left your daughter. And then as she got home, she found that her daughter was made well. So why is it that he suddenly needs to use physical touch as well as using Aramaic? Well, it's possible that the ancient ritual that was used kind of by other nations to wake up their gods kind of involved anointing and symbolically opening the eyes and the ears and the mouth of that image. That's obviously never going to work. But it is the Lord God of the Bible who created humanity. He gives people mouths that speak. He gives people ears that hear. And so his unusual actions here testify that he is the Lord God himself, the one who has come to restore the image of God that is found in humanity. I think that explains the deep sigh of verse 34. God has made all humans to know him, and yet as he looks at our spiritual state without him working, rescuing, restoring, he sees our unclean hearts, hearts that don't want to know him. We're deaf to his voice. We're blind to see him. And so we need God to act to fix that, don't we? And that is good news right here, because Jesus is the Lord God himself who uses his power to restore humanity. He has the power to release not only those who are captive to deafness and mutism, but our spiritual state that we were or still are imprisoned to. And so as Jesus headed into these non-Jewish areas, it is a glorious picture of what was promised in the Old Testament, a final exodus, a blissful Zion, a worldwide people of God who are saved and restored, a place where eyes of the blind shall be opened, the ears of the deaf are unstopped, the lame man leaps like a deer, and the tongue of the mute singing for joy. And if you were here last week, well, isn't this in contrast to the deafness of the Jews who didn't believe in Jesus? It's people outside of Israel who Jesus gave ears to hear the word of God, who helped people to identify him as the fulfillment of hope. And so the question for us right now today is this: are we listening to Jesus? Do we hear and understand that Jesus is the Lord God? He has the authority and the power to heal the spiritually dead. He can give the chief of sinners a hearing ear. He can make the sinner delight into listening to the very gospel which he once ignored. He can put a new song in the mouth of the person whose talk was once of this world. He can make even the vilest of men speak of a gospel of grace. Forget adverts that offer you wealth and health and happiness. What you and I need and what the world needs is Jesus. What little Miri needs is a powerful ruler and a gracious savior. Jesus is the Lord God who can restore us, release us from our captivity to sin. But not only does he have power, chapter 8, verse 1, Jesus has great compassion that satisfies even the hungriest of people. Have a look down, chapter 8, verse 1. In those days, when again a great crowd had gathered, and they had nothing to eat, he called his disciples to him and said to them, I have compassion on the crowd, because they've been with me now 3 days and have nothing to eat. And if I send them away hungry to their homes, they will faint on the way. And some of them have come from far away. Once more, we see the Lord's power, don't we? But unlike corrupt power that crushes people, Jesus is full of power that is compassionate and kind. Now, this feeding is not a copy and paste report of the feeding that we saw in chapter 6, when Jesus finishes off in the region of Galilee, where he feeds 5,000 plus people from Israel. This second feeding, Mark is showing us something about Jesus and his grace to the whole world. It's also going to be for the good of his disciples, as we'll see in a bit. Because at this point, it's the disciples who failed to see. Verse 4. And his disciples answered him, "How can one feed these people with bread here in this desolate place?" And he asked them, "How many loaves do you have?" They said, "Seven." And he directed the crowd to sit on the ground, and he took the 7 loaves, and having given thanks, he broke them and gave them to his disciples to set before the people. And they set them before the crowd, and had a few small fish. And having blessed them, he said that these also should be set before them. You see, for the disciples, you'd think that they'd be able to remember the last feeding frenzy. But the disciples, they showed their lack of understanding. And Jesus, well, he shows us his compassion. Yes, the scale of this miracle is reduced, but the outcome's the same, isn't it? Jesus is the loving God who powerfully brings satisfaction to people. There was plenty to spare. Verse 8, and they ate and were satisfied. And they took up the broken pieces left over, 7 baskets full, and there were about 4,000 people, and he sent them away. See, let's not miss out on its simplicity. This really happened because Jesus really is the Lord God. And this is brilliant news, for Jesus is inviting people from the nations, from outside Israel, to enter into his kingdom banquet, an all-you-can-eat buffet. One very easy way is the word 7 that's used. But also, there's a sneaky way that Mark uses to show us what's happening. It's the word basket. It was pointed out to me. It's a bit geeky, but I quite enjoyed it. Mark's use of the word basket in both feeding miracles is different. In chapter 6, of the feeding of the 5,000, Mark uses the word kophanos basket, and it's a type of basket that was used by the Jews, a wicker basket. Whereas the word for basket here in the second feeding is the word spuris. They're larger baskets made out of reeds that were used by the Gentiles, the non-Jews. It's a really small thing, but do you see how wonderful and brilliant that is? Jesus' mission was to reach and rescue both Jew and then Gentile. As the woman said last week, even Gentile dogs can gather up the crumbs that are under his table. And so it's still true today that for any who come to Jesus, you will find him to be a compassionate and gracious God. Because spiritually, Jesus will open our deaf ears and mute mouths. Spiritually, he will satisfy us if we come to him and ask him. Don't walk away from that. Imagine if someone in that crowd who'd had nothing to eat for 3 days, was offered fish sandwiches that satisfy, but instead they decided to walk away. Thanks, Jesus, but no thanks, I'm all right. You don't have to be a Christian for long before you see that. You meet people at church who are interested in Jesus, but the pressure of life and the worries of this world takes them away. We know plenty of men and women who grew up in church, who remember looking at miracles like this in Sunday school, but now they've moved on from all that. It is foolish to walk away from Jesus, because where else will we find satisfaction? Adverts often give us a glimpse into people's lives. Whatever the company or product, they give us a glimpse into what the majority of the audience are concerned about. And so at the time of writing this at 3:20 on Friday afternoon, Channel 4 played these adverts: an app for checking your glucose levels, a competition to win £1 million house and £100,000, an advert for decking, which I did enjoy, an advert for Pilates that I didn't enjoy. See, clearly the advertising gurus think that people who watch A Place in the Sun on Friday afternoons, they're concerned about their health and their house and their pleasure. They're giving false hope. You could win this house. You could live your best life now. See, surely nobody really believes that, do they? And surely, followers of Jesus, we know better. When we read the news of God's people becoming less concerned by false hopes, reminding ourselves that the thing that this world needs to hear more than anything else is God's rescue plan in Jesus. In my own life, am I becoming less concerned by my own needs and less concerned about my status and gaining the things of this world, forgetting that only Jesus can bring safety and satisfaction? Who else can we turn to that has the authority to restore all things as he has promised? Who else has compassion and power to bring about a perfect kingdom where all needs are met? But it is easy to miss the truth of who Jesus is. It's easy to not understand his mission. This next little section that we come to, it moves us along towards the dramatic end of the first act of Mark's drama. As Jesus returned to the other side of Lake Galilee, he was met by opposition and conflict. And so verses 10 to 21 of chapter 8 are a warning. Watch out. Do you see but not believe? Have a look down at verse 10. And immediately he got into the boat with his disciples and went to the district of Dalmatia. The Pharisees came and began to argue with him, seeking from him a sign from heaven to test him. And he sighed deeply in his spirit and said, "Why does this generation seek a sign? Truly I say to you, no sign will be given to this generation." A good Jew would know that the kingdom of God would be heralded by unmistakable signs. So these religious Pharisees, they could take their pick. The deaf can hear, the blind can see, the dead have been raised to life. On a small scale, their unbelief is like a disobedient and stubborn child who thinks they know best, and their parent feels pushed to the brink. Just like that parent, Jesus sighed. How much more can I show you? It's almost like a dying cancer patient who's told by the doctor that there is a cure available. And as they discuss this, the cancer patient learns that the doctor doesn't recycle and doesn't eat organic food. They become so disgusted with the doctor that the patient then marches out of the office. The patient would be a fool. But that is how these religious Jewish Pharisees, that is how they responded to Jesus. And so his words, "I tell you the truth," they are solemn and authoritative as he rejected their request. And perhaps you're seeking at the moment, maybe you're trying to work out who Jesus is. Well, we need to remember that these are true stories. And that Mark is using the deaf and the mute and the hungry and the blind. They are true stories, but he's using them as metaphors for understanding who Jesus is. And so therefore, if you look around this room this morning, you will see many fine examples, signs of Jesus powerfully and lovingly working in people's lives. He has performed a miracle in every single Christian's life. He has opened up deaf ears. He has loosened the mute mouth that didn't speak his praise. He graciously made us clean from our defiled, sinful lives. And he has done this through his clearest sign of his power and his compassion and salvation. If you want to know if Jesus is Lord, look at his death and his resurrection. Because the only response that is fitting to Jesus is to turn to him and believe him. But the Pharisees, the religious Pharisees, they continue to be an example of how not to respond to Jesus. Last week, we used the Mark faith spectrum up on the screen to see this played out. Hopefully, it'll come back up again. Here we go. Here we have the Pharisees, and they show us what unbelief looks like. They rejected Jesus, and Jesus rejected them. Do you see what Jesus did, verse 13? And he left them. Got into the boat again and went to the other side. As they rejected him, Jesus turned his back on them. They remained in their sin, unclean hypocrites. They were people outside of the kingdom of God. And this is not the response that God wants from people. If we reject Jesus, he will reject us. Mark tells us who Jesus is and what he alone offers. He is the God who has good news for sinful, defiled lives. He offers to wash you clean. He offers you an everlasting kingdom, a banquet, a feast that satisfies. And so you can ask him right now. You could ask him to open your deaf ears and open your blind eyes to give you faith to follow him. You won't be disappointed if you turn to Jesus. But what about his flip-flopping disciples? Well, as they went back across the lake, Jesus' focus turns to his followers, his friends. And on two previous journeys across the lake, Jesus revealed himself as Lord of creation, the Lord himself. And on both those occasions, they saw him and were utterly terrified. And so verse 14 is a bit of an embarrassing scene. Now they had forgotten to bring bread, and they had only one loaf with them in the boat, and he cautioned them, saying, "Watch out. Beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the leaven of Herod." See, Jesus' compassion for his friends, it shows itself here with a warning. As the hunger kicked in, Jesus says, "Watch out. Be careful of what the Pharisees and Herod were asking for." The self-righteous Pharisees, he demanded signs. The worldliness and foolishness of Herod. Be alert. Jesus is saying, be alert of the danger of unbelief. Watch out that you yourselves do not reject me. But the disciples, they didn't listen, verse 16. They began discussing with one another the fact they had no bread. And so can you hear the heat of Jesus' reply, verse 17? Jesus, aware of this, said to them, "Why are you discussing the fact you have no bread? Do you not yet perceive or understand? Are your hearts hardened? Having eyes, do you not see? Having ears, do you not hear? And do you not remember? When I broke the five loaves for the 5,000, how many baskets full of broken pieces did you take up?" They said to him, 12. "And the seven baskets for the 4,000, how many baskets full of broken pieces did you take up?" And they said to him, 7. And he said to them, "Do you not yet understand?" Just like the Old Testament prophets who rebuked deaf Israel, Jesus uses quick fire, rapid questions to rebuke his deaf disciples. The 12 who were a new Israel in embryo, they were as blind as and deaf as Old Testament Israel. See, they could clearly remember the two feeding miracles, but they had eyes that had not seen and ears that had not heard. "Do you not yet understand?" Verse 21. But this is the Lord God who opened the deaf man's ears, isn't it? Does Jesus have the power and the compassion and the will to open the eyes and the ears and the mouths of his chosen 12 friends? Can Jesus bring them to believe? And the answer will be yes. Did you spot what Jesus says? Verse 17. "Do you not yet perceive or understand?" Verse 21. "Do you not yet understand?" Jesus will help his friends. We'll see that in the next few weeks. But Jesus' words to them is to show us that they were closer to the Pharisees than we may have feared. And yet Jesus is going to help them move up. Don't know what's gone wrong there. We'll carry on. They move up. They've gone towards faith. Come back the next few weeks. Watch that in action as Jesus helps them move towards faith. But perhaps it suggests that Mark saw this as a threat that Jesus' followers may be in danger of sharing. If we've been listening to Jesus, then like the disciples, we've been told. As we've gone through Mark's gospel, we've seen carefully arranged evidence to see who Jesus is. And today, right now, we have heard his voice. But are we in danger of missing the truth that's right in front of our eyes? Because according to Jesus, the problem in following him in our faith is yeast. All it took the disciples was a lack of bread to show their ignorance and unbelief. Like yeast, it doesn't take a lot for unbelief to spread across my life. When we start to think that Jesus won't satisfy, when we're tempted to believe that his compassion isn't enough, when we're tempted to think that Jesus really isn't in control, or that we're still unclean. See, whether you're a recent believer or you've been following Christ for decades, our understanding is always imperfect. And my vision of Jesus is far too small. My ears struggle to listen to his word day after day. And yet discipleship is slow growth. I think Mark writes this down so that it reminds us that we're to be patient with one another. We are to prayerfully give each other time to grow in grace and knowledge of who Jesus is. We're to keep reminding each other that Jesus despises none of his people. His compassion and his patience never gives way. And because Jesus really is the Lord of the entire world, well, then as a church, we keep sharing this good, compassionate news. We pray that as we speak about Jesus, that he would powerfully open deaf ears to hear, open blind eyes to see, soften hard hearts to the truth about a loving Lord God, the one and only ruler and rescuer of this world. Let's pray together. Our Father, thank you for the good news of Jesus. Would you make our vision of him clearer, that we may see and know his compassion and trust him? We ask that none here within this building who have seen and heard wouldn't be left without understanding this morning. We ask that we would go out with his compassion for the nations as we proclaim him to all people. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.